Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, Fredno, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve and Larson and available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and the little notify bell here on YouTube to make sure you're always getting your new Going In Raw content.
And of course, if you hit the subscribe or download button on your podcast app, it really does help the show. It increases our profile and stuff. I don't know. I got to work that part out. It helps us if you hit the download button.
Yeah.
Why do you look confused right now?
But I got up too early. That's why.
All right. We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com. At least you're not hungry. Usually you come over.
Oh, I'm hungry too.
Yeah, but usually you like immediately start talking about it.
I did pretty soon.
Like, who just shows up to work hungry?
Like, it's because we don't start.
Yeah,
like we start at 9:30 or 10. I have an hour and a half, 2 hours before I get hungry. But I get here at 11. By the time we get started on the show, 11:30, it's basically lunchtime. Especially a day like today where I got up early, therefore ate breakfast early.
Hey, you know what time we wake up? Get started. We get started at the exact time Golden Corral is the worst time to eat, because it's like when breakfast is cold, but they haven't started serving lunch yet.
I'm pretty sure they have the lunch stuff at 11:30.
Okay, 11:30, but yeah. You get here at 11. So yeah, they're like maybe starting to think about putting their lunch stuff out.
But considering Golden Corral isn't an option for us, period.
Yeah.
That's a moot point.
Well, it could be, man.
Where's the nearest Golden Corral?
Oh, I don't know. There's a bunch around here, probably.
Oh, yeah. We usually don't do sit-down lunches out of the house. We'll go.
Remember
the
one time we did a sit-down lunch and it took like 3 hours?
Well, it felt like
it was like forever.
It wasn't that long.
It was a good meal though.
Yeah, it was no more than an hour. But
I like
because
that place.
We were in a hurry.
The Black Bear Diner. I like
because we were
place.
In a hurry. It felt like
it took forever.
It took forever.
We're all available on the Patreon, patreon.com/Steven Larson. We have 62 people watching right now. This the live stream broadcast of this. So yesterday we did Going In Raw live for everybody, but only the $5 and up patrons every week get 3 exclusive live streams where we talk about Raw, SmackDown, and of course NXT and 205 Live. We want to say thank you to all those patrons out there, but be sure to check that out. If you want to support the show, you can check it out there. We've got reward tiers all the way from $1 all the way up to $200,000. Let's test out to see if anybody has put in on that $200,000 reward tier, Larson. Too sweet me. They haven't done it yet. They obviously have not done it yet. That is the reward at $200,000. Larson will too sweet me on air. I do like every week to read out the new patrons because they're opening up their wallets to us. So I'm going to go ahead and do that now. These are all the new patrons over the last week. Chris Ramirez, The Real TJP, Alvaro Vega, Jennifer Del Castillo, Anthony Hernandez, Neil, Robert Campbell, The Elite Norwegian, Ryan Robles, or Robles, I don't know. Chad McCallum, Lil Nate, Jack Peary, Andrew Nelson, Talon Wise, Uranagi McGee, Tommy the Nature Cat, Nast, Roland Reese, Robinson, this is either Robinson 9 in Roman numerals or Robinson IX, Liam Christie, Marinko Milosevsky, Zach Schultz, and Empire and Obscure. They all put in on the Patreon, and we want to say thank you to everybody. We're also available at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw, where our latest design, the Shower Me With Gold pay-per-view logo, is currently on. We got to get more with our faces on it, Larson. You think people are going to buy shirts with our faces on it,
well,
like this British Strong Style, but us?
The idea I have for the Cold Water Larson shirt has my face on it.
Yeah, there you go. Some more of our faces.
So we'll find out. That'll be a good litmus test.
Yeah, I think that'd be good.
So I just have to get to it.
Yeah.
But maybe it won't ever happen.
Maybe not. Anyways, let's talk about Raw.
Raw!
Oh, quick programming note. Fun Wrestling is live today around 3 p.m. Pacific time.
3:30.
3:30 Pacific time for Fun Wrestling?
Yes.
All right, sounds good.
Stacked show today. Looking forward to it.
No, I don't care about all that. I'm just telling the people if they want to watch it. Look, if you want to watch something that isn't nearly as cool as what we saw yesterday, where Magic Pony became the latest contract talent with WGPW.
You don't even know what your show's called now.
I don't. I have zero plan for that show. Anyways, let's talk about Raw. It was weird, man. It was weird. So much weird. And
it wasn't a very interesting show.
You know, we say that, and Jason Jordan turns out to be Kurt Angle's son in real life.
Well, no. Not in real life.
Correct me. Where am I wrong on that? He was announced yesterday.
Storyline, in terms of WWE storyline, he is Kurt Angle's son, but he is not, in fact, Kurt Angle's son.
I saw this coming. I actually called this on last week's episode.
Well, at least a couple of weeks ago, you brought up the possibility. Was it just last week, or was it 2 weeks ago?
Well, I don't know. I know 1 week.
You brought up the possibility that he could have
an illegitimate son.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think I said, okay, so here's the thing. Last week, we really talked about what it's going to be. It was like, didn't we do power rankings? What are my notes for last week?
I don't know, probably in that stack of notes over there.
Yeah, I know, but you know what? I reorganized them, so I don't know where it is.
So you reorganized them by doing so.
Pretty sure we did power rankings on this, and Dixie Carter was like 1 through 3. I'm almost positive that I put on there American Alpha was like, and we figured it'd be Chad Gable. The dude literally looks exactly like Kurt Angle. And so that was the swerve. Everybody thought it was going to be Chad Gable.
But we were talking about this beforehand. It made sense that it was Jason Jordan, considering how they've been booking Chad Gable on SmackDown.
Yeah,
the last 3 weeks or so, they've been giving him a lot of spotlight as a solo competitor.
I said, half jokingly, that it was Jason Jordan, and you shrugged me off because I think we're both we were done kind of talking about it. I'm pretty sure I said it could be Jason Jordan. And I should have stuck with my guns because there was a part of me that really did think that.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, he's, the fact that Jason Jordan is an African-American, but he's light-skinned. And so I was like, well, they could do that. They could totally do that. And it would be kind of a swerve because Chad Gable is so obvious. The Dixie Carter affair thing, I always figured would probably be more of a swerve than not because I just didn't know if that was going to happen, but maybe I did. I don't know.
If Raw hadn't been in Nashville last night, I wouldn't have even thought anything about Dixie Carter showing up.
Yeah.
It just seemed like, I'm sure it wasn't coincidence they decided to have the reveal in Nashville.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of putting two and two together. Obviously, it didn't happen.
But yeah. Let me ask you this. Here's kind of the bigger question. I know we're getting to this before we're getting to the actual beginning of Raw, but When do you think they knew that's what they were going to go with? From the beginning of Corey Graves, when the first time he got up and said, hold on, I've got some personal info or personal business to take care of. They've been hiding Jason Jordan very conspicuously for at least a couple weeks. Ever since Kevin Owens did the open challenge.
Yeah, that was 3 weeks ago.
I think it was three weeks ago. Jason Jordan kind of accompanied him, and then he left.
Yeah.
And it should have been plain as day because it's like, oh, they're pushing Chad Gable as a singles guy.
Yeah.
And they're hiding Jason Jordan. What's that all about?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems plain as day now. I think they probably had this in place for at least, I would say probably since then. Like, it hasn't been that long. But the whole idea of him saying, you mentioned this off camera, him saying, this is going to ruin me. This could ruin my legacy. But, at the same time, Kurt Angle is a very old school guy. You know, like, I can see why, like, in this day and age, having a child out of wedlock isn't a big deal. But for an old school guy like him, I mean, you remember the ECW cross thing.
Yeah.
Which, admittedly, you don't have to be, old school or prude to find offense in the ECW crucifixion.
Yeah.
But
they were setting things up in the early stages of this storyline that it was some huge thing.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
In terms of how it was going to, potentially cause harm to his reputation professionally.
Right.
Destroy his family. They were setting it up so it was going to be this catastrophic thing potentially for him.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, that's sort of the thing, too. And that's sort of like, I don't know. Like, do they go with, we're going to do this and then write backwards? For 4 weeks or whatever.
Or they just go into the storyline saying, okay, we need something huge, a seismic event in Kurt Angle's life. Let's set it up so it's something really huge.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as we work through the angle, we'll decide what it actually is down the line. It's hard to tell with them whether whether they have a plan from the beginning or not, or if they start with a plan and it changes or what. Like, we don't know what the writing process is, and we keep hearing how indecisive Vince is.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, he just canceled Talking Smack because he showed up one day and decided he didn't want it on anymore. I mean, after the show's been on a year, almost.
What is this?
So it's, I mean, I would like to think that they had a plan for the last 2 months, however long this story's been going, and they stuck to it, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's so hard to tell.
It's like it'll drive you crazy trying to think about it.
I know, and that's why I just try not to think about it.
Now, the reaction to it, we're just going to talk about this now. It's the biggest story coming out of Raw, and then we'll get to the minutiae of Raw, which was, like you said, a pretty bland show. There was a lot of spinning wheels going on. The reaction to it was all over the map. I mean, nobody really seemed like overly... I think the general consensus, if there was one, was this is just typical WWE, because that's what it is. It's stupid. It's beyond stupid. You would never see this anywhere else. Well, no, you might see it in GFW. I could see GFW, like, it'd be funny. Like, I could see GFW pre-taping this and it's showing up, like, next week.
Yeah.
I know. That'd be very GFW.
Sort of like Austin Aries gets released and they do an Austin Aries playlist on their
exactly,
YouTube channel.
Exactly. So it's very dumb. It's very WWE. I'll put it this way. There are pros and cons. One of the cons, obviously, is we have to sit through this stupid story, the stupid soap opera storytelling.
But
and it's ridiculous.
The pro is Jason Jordan gets a really good opportunity.
Yes, he does.
And we both really, really like Jason Jordan.
I know. I think that he's got all the potential in the world. I really like Jason
Jordan. Did you watch the interview after Raw?
Yeah, it was so cheesy. And he looked nervous. He came off as like, because he was sweating, and, you know, granted, there are days when I sweat like a pig under these lights. But, you know, I mean, like yesterday when we did our live show, and it shouldn't matter, like, it's, you know, we're not, but, you know, sitting there in front of 2,000 people or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
with a new format for us.
Exactly.
It was a little nerve wracking.
So
yes.
For him, I could totally see why he'd be nervous. But under the circumstances, I was trying to think to myself, OK, is he convincing? And he was convincing. I mean, he came up as nervous, but convincing. And I'm like, that's good for him.
Yeah.
Look, you said this in front of the show also before the show started rolling. There is any number of ways you could pair up Jason Jordan with Kurt Angle. This is clearly a Vince McMahon thing. This is clearly something that amuses the crap out of Vince.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me he doesn't think he's so clever for it being Jason Jordan, an African-American, and not Chad Gable, a guy who literally looks exactly like Kurt Angle. I guarantee. Oh, yeah. Ah, you know, extra scandal. Actually, Vince, it's not a deal at all. You know what I mean? Like, it's 2017. So, but that's such a Vince thing. I don't know. It's such a Vince thing. But you know, like you said, one of the major pros is we're going to get Jason Jordan has a massive opportunity. He's going to be under Kurt Angle in some respect now. And it's going to be good. There are a million other, you know, ways that they could have done this, but they like their stupid shock value soap opera stuff and whatever. Here's another pro is, and some people mentioned this in our chat here on the live stream. This could give us some more comedic Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
Him awkwardly trying to be a father.
That's true.
Is what somebody pointed
That's
out here.
True.
Which will be great.
Yeah, that'll be good.
It'll be fantastic. So any opportunity I get for Kurt Angle to exercise his funny bone,
yeah,
I'm totally down with that. I'm totally fine with that.
One other con. Apparently American Alpha are no more.
I don't think that's a con. I really don't think it's a con.
Well, I do to a degree, because that's two young up-and-coming tag teams they've broken up within the last month. First was Enzo and Cass, who never reached their potential on Raw.
Yeah.
American Alpha, who never reached their fullest potential on SmackDown.
Yeah. I don't...
And both tag divisions need depth, especially face tag teams.
I know, man, but you're right in that creative didn't utilize American Alpha, but there was no indication that they were ever going to. And so it's just a matter of, well, you know, this is what they gave us, or this is evidently what they had for American Alpha, and it was nothing. And you and I both said when they got called up or during their time in NXT, whatever it was, that within a couple of years, we saw both guys having huge success as singles competitors.
Yeah, but we always thought it would be, you know,
piggybacking a wildly successful tag run.
Yes.
But that's not happening. The other thing I think could happen, I think they're going to get there one way or the other.
Assuming the creative books this well.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, it definitely could happen.
I mean, we've already seen them very eager to shine a single spotlight on Chad Gable. And I think that's only going to be exponential now that Jason Jordan is off to Raw.
Yeah.
I really think that's going to be the case. Somebody also pointed this out on Twitter. This is a major bummer. Daniel Bryan actually tweeted this out, that he was anxious to interview Chad Gable on Talking Smack. And he said, oh, that's right. Can't do that.
I know. There is an hour every week. An hour every week you could use to develop character. And it's gone.
That
would have
been
great. Across the board, gone for everybody. I know.
To get Chad Gable's response. Instead, we're going to get a cheesy interview bot, or, you know, maybe Renee Young.
Oh, 15-second interview.
15 seconds with Chad Gable, as opposed to a good 12-minute chunk or 7-minute chunk, whatever they do with them.
I know.
So that's a bummer. But, and I agree. I'll put it this way, though. With Enzo and Cass, I think that's a much bigger bummer, because with them, like American Alpha, we saw what creative did with them. They gave them the tag straps. They never found a way to get them over. They never really tried.
They never really tried to give them a character. Characters.
But I really do think that. I think that the tag on, like, the New Day, what other face team are on SmackDown right now?
Fashion Police.
Oh, and the Fashion Police. Who could? I mean, you know, you've got two really, really strong face tag teams on SmackDown.
I know,
SmackDown.
But the especially with, I think it's Primo suffering a knee injury, I think he's out of action for a while. You know, we've been saying for a while, turn American Alpha heel.
Yeah,
that'd
I know.
Great.
Yeah, I know.
But like, who's the heel tag teams on SmackDown now are the Usos and the Ascension.
Yeah.
The Ascension you don't take seriously.
I know, but here's the thing, dude. I'll turn around on this. I'll flip-flop a little bit on that. Faced with the prospect of a face Chad Gable as a singles competitor on SmackDown.
Oh, I know. It's promising. It's
being used properly, and a Jason Jordan getting a clean slate and a singles push under Kurt Angle on Raw, I would rather have that than a heel American Alpha.
Okay.
Especially because they're what heels are on SmackDown? Those are the
Usos and the Ascension.
Oh, the Ascension. I mean, yeah, okay. So
they could have been next in line
the B heel
after.
Team. I know, but
they could have been involved. They could have been the ones. I'm not necessarily saying, you know, they shouldn't have broken them up. I'm just
sure.
Presenting this scenario. You know, there's been somebody that's been attacking the Fashion Police.
Yeah. No, I know.
And we've been saying for a while, American Alpha, yeah. American Alpha. They could use that storyline to go into the title picture afterwards, after the New Day and the Usos finish their feud.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming the New Day got the tag team titles.
Yeah.
And that could have been really good.
No, I know. It could have been. But I'm totally fine with fast-tracking their singles careers. I'm totally fine with that, because they haven't done anything with them, and there was no evidence to suggest that there was room on the show to do with them. And, you know, Jason Jordan's going to get a lot of spotlight right now.
Yeah, I don't know about Chad Gable, though.
I mean, dude, if Ty Dillinger has a hard time getting on there, although Ty Dillinger might have to be kind of scared now, because it seems like whoever, either, what is it, Road Dogg, Michael Hayes, or you heard Shane McMahon,
yeah,
is in charge or sort of hands on SmackDown right now. Somebody there likes Chad Gable enough to put him on the show every single week for the past couple of weeks, ever since I think they decided to get Jason Jordan off to Raw. He has been there. He had a fantastic match with AJ Styles.
And AJ Styles spoke very highly of
that
him
was
on
a,
Twitter, at least.
Yeah, and on Talking Smack. That was a spotlight match for him, which he killed.
Yep.
They gave him that little segment with Marie. Those all could have been Ty Dillinger spots.
Oh, yeah.
And they chose to run with Chad Gable.
Yeah.
I think that they're going to run with him. I think they're going to find a way to shoehorn him onto SmackDown. And I'm fine with that. Let's kick off Raw. We'll maybe touch a little bit more on the Kurt Angle thing once we get around to it, exactly how it was executed.
Yeah, the show kicked off with a Dean Ambrose promo.
Was this, you kind of indicated off camera, this was kind of your highlight of the night?
Well, I thought the interaction between Dean and Seth Rollins was all really good.
I did too. I liked it. I liked it. I liked when you know, Seth comes down. I liked their interaction. It felt real. When Seth turned his back on Dean and said,
"Oh, even before that, he said, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry for turning on the Shield. I'm sorry for breaking the team up.
Yeah,
because Dean was really holding a grudge.
Yeah,
and it, as you said, it seemed real.
Mm-hmm.
And then that great moment where Seth says, "Okay, if this is what you need, I'll do it. Hit me with the chair. I'll turn my back to you. Yeah. Hit me. Hit me as many times as you want.
You have to. I mean, say what you will. You have to appreciate that the WWE. You know, I mean, this encounter between them." Has been 3 years coming.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they've kept, and I'm not saying that this is a 3 year plan. It's just, sometimes I got it.
Wow.
I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that you have to appreciate that the Shield were such a success that 3 years later, you can come back around to this.
It's always nice when WWE acknowledges their own history.
It's always a treat.
I know. This happened. This was an important moment for a lot of people.
It's a rare delight.
And we're going to acknowledge it and use it to advance potentially a story.
Yeah, on accident.
I know. Where it's convenient for us to do so, we will do it.
I know, man. Oh, it's so bad.
So Dean, you know, he's trying to decide whether to hit him with a chair.
Yeah.
He's torn.
Yeah.
And ultimately, he doesn't do it.
Yeah.
He slides the chair out of the ring.
Man, I was hoping for a wind-up, and then Miz's music hits.
Yeah.
At least a hint of a wind-up.
I know.
Come on! Because, he's the lunatic fringe!
I know. Because out of this whole storyline, I would not be surprised in the least if we get a heel Dean.
Mm? I know.
He just can't put that behind him. He can't ever forgive Seth.
I know.
Seth is not turning heel anytime soon.
I know. Because Dean, I mean, look, Dean was pretty convincing when he's giving Seth some shit.
Yeah.
So, anyways, Miz comes down and he starts getting kind of meta with the writing here. He starts literally referring to the writing that's happening in the ring.
Yeah.
You know, this moment here when, you know, one man can't put the past behind him. And then the Miz Taraj surround the ring with chairs. The crowd, for the first time in forever, start chanting for Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And instead of, you know, I was thinking about this too. I was like, well, I know Roman is occupied with Samoa. Roman has a segment later on.
End of the show. This is the open of the show.
That was the great, you know, we reference the Attitude Era every once in a while. That was the great thing about the Attitude Era. They didn't care. It was like, oh, it makes sense to send Stone Cold out now and have him come back later for his thing.
Let's do it.
Sure, let's do it. If it makes sense, let's do it. It made all the sense in the world for Roman Reigns to go out there and make his face. You want him to be your top guy or not?
I know.
The crowd is literally, somebody at Gorilla says, oh, shit, the crowd, they want Roman. Send him the hell out there.
Full sprint.
Get in charge. Run.
Full sprint. Don't saunter. Run.
Get him out there now. They're changing.
Have him do the Shield entrance.
We stumbled into the crowd chanting.
I know. We have a transcendent moment here for Roman. Let's not give it to the crowd.
Oh,
but
man.
next week it was announced later that it's going to be Rollins and Ambrose against Miz and the Miz Taraj, a handicap match. So there's another opportunity.
Another perfect opportunity. If you're listening, have that opportunity.
Unless.
What?
No, they're not going to do that.
What?
Heel Roman.
Oh, they're not going to do that.
They're not going to do that.
They're not going to do that. Oh, man. Anyways, let's see here. So, the Miz.
Oh, yeah, the segment concludes with Miz giving Rollins a skull-crushing finale on a chair.
Sprint. That was a good one. go to commercial and back with a Miz interview?
Yeah, he's just walking backstage, and then Charlie comes up, asks a question, and he says something and leaves.
Yeah.
I watched it twice and had a hard time understanding exactly what the Miz said.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he says something.
I'll be honest. I don't think. Look, man, I watched Raw live. I'm just trying to remember this. I don't remember it at all. He said what now?
I don't remember. Because she asked him a question. They're in a hurry to get out of the arena.
I do remember Charlie Caruso. I remember noticing Charlie Caruso because I started following her on like Instagram or something. And it's been her 30th birthday recently. And I noticed she had a shirt that had a picture of Biggie Smalls and Snoop. And then Biggie Smalls and Snoop again. And I was like, that's an odd shirt. Why wouldn't you do like other people? Like those two plus like Tupac and I don't know, somebody else. Like it was weird. Like why would you have two people but then repeated? Anyways, Charlie Caruso was kind of on my mind, and then she popped up, and I was like, oh, but she's not wearing that shirt. So maybe I was just preoccupied with Charlie Caruso.
Maybe.
Which isn't a bad person to be preoccupied with. Anyways, Miz gave some sort of interview.
No, it was literally a sentence, but the second half of the sentence, he drifted off as he was walking out the door.
That's great.
I mean, like, he's walking away from the mics, dude. Yeah. Hear him.
Yeah.
So I didn't get what he said.
Next up, we had Bayley versus Alexa Bliss. For those people who think that they're burying Bayley, I don't know, man. This doesn't look like it.
No, she got another clean pin on the women's champion.
And you know what? Here's the thing. I'm kind of liking it. They're not taking Bayley in that weird direction.
No,
with her.
And the commentary team made a point of saying that Bayley was showing some newfound aggression.
Yeah. So just don't talk about it again.
Yeah.
Just have her keep doing that.
Yes.
We don't need to talk about
focus on the in-ring work.
Yeah, exactly. And it works.
Yeah.
Like if you have her keep doing this kind of stuff, like just being really good in the ring.
Yeah.
Like it's fine. It's good.
Yes.
Anyways, so we had Bayley versus Alexa Bliss. Nia Jax came out there. To sort of, you know, obviously maybe help, like, she's trying to protect Alexa Bliss so
yes.
she can have, assuming, so
a title shot down the line, yes.
Yeah, then Sasha Banks came down and attacked Nia Jax, which allowed Bayley to get the roll-up.
No.
Wait, really? I thought like she hit a Bayley-to-belly. Oh, really?
It was a roll-up. Yeah, Alexa kicked out.
Oh, the kick-out. Okay, all right. I'll turn
but
my
Bayley one was a Bayley-to-belly.
Yeah, okay.
Next, we had Kurt Angle and Corey Graves backstage because Corey got a text.
Kurt Angle was saying, "You know, should I do this publicly?"
He was having second thoughts about making his announcement public.
Yeah,
or doing it publicly. Yes.
And Corey Graves says he's the voice of reason.
Yeah.
Trying to calm him down. Say
and Kurt thanked him for being such a good friend.
Are you sad that this didn't turn into some Corey Graves heel turn?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, me too, a little bit. I was hoping there'd be something here.
I was hoping granted, we don't know the full extent of the story, but I was kind of hoping there'd be more dimension to it. And maybe there will be down the line.
Hey, you never know, man. It would be kind of ballsy to do this. I don't think they're going to do it. But they might use this to turn Jason Jordan heel on Kurt Angle and then have that be the SummerSlam match.
Could be.
You know? That'd be kind of good. I like that.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Then we had Titus O'Neil, Apollo Crews, who is looking very dapper in a suit, in a Titus Worldwide suit.
Yeah.
And Akira Tozawa backstage, Arya Daivari comes in and sort of repeats the same thing. He said that was kind of my problem with the Raw is that the non-angle stuff and the non-Seth Dean stuff was kind of just spent like, we've been through this before. When somebody repeats kind of verbatim what they had already said,
because
Arya Daivari comes in there and he says, "Where's your honor? Begging for matches. Don't you know the old Iranian wrestler?" And I forget his name, and I'm sorry. But he references the exact same thing that he referenced last week. There's nothing new. There's nothing going forward here. He was sort of laying into Akira Tozawa about that.
Yeah, which set up a match later in the show.
Right.
Following that, we had a cruiserweight match, and they didn't change the ropes.
I know. So
or the ring mat.
The lights purpled up.
Yeah.
They purpled up the lights. And
they had the LED ring posts were cruiserweight division branded.
Yeah.
But beyond that.
Now, the big question is going to be tonight on 205 Live if they're going to change the ring ropes.
I'm sure they will.
You think so?
Yeah, for their own show, I think they will.
All right. We'll see.
But on Raw, at least last night, they didn't, and that was a great move.
Blue is very close to purple, though. Can't they just keep it blue from SmackDown?
No, they're going to change it.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Again, you mentioned
orange.
A match that kind of spun wheels. This match was very much that.
Yeah, I know, man. Whenever they do these tag matches for 205 Live, it kills the show. It absolutely kills the show. This is the truth.
Yeah.
Now you're talking about killing the
show.
Well,
hold on. Mustafa Ali. Oh, yeah. It was Brian Kendrick and Drew Gulak versus Mustafa Ali and Jack Gallagher.
Yeah.
And Ali picked up the win, pinning Brian Kendrick after an inverted 450.
And that was after Jack Gallagher delivered a headbutt to Brian Kendrick. I always like those, though.
Oh, yeah. His headbutts are great.
Yeah. Unlike Shibata headbutts, which will literally destroy your brain.
Yeah.
Getting back to my segue. Talk about killing the show. Let's talk about this Enzo Amore promo.
Oh, it went on forever.
Oh, my God. He talks forever. This is sort of, they could easily pivot Cass to be the face here. Because, like, it's, again, the heel making a good point about, you know, about the face.
What also, like, this
just
whole
talk
time.
Way too much.
Wasn't one of the general points of Enzo's promo that Cass ran away from a fight?
Yeah.
Enzo doesn't do that?
Yeah.
And that's literally what he did.
I know. Yeah. I know.
I mean, they tried to set it up like this was some trap that Enzo laid out for Cass.
Didn't Enzo use like a little kid as a human shield in this one?
Not necessarily.
He got behind a little kid.
No, he sat next to him.
He was, dude, he was kind of behind him.
But that was,
yeah, but the kid was kind of right here.
No, I know, but the idea was that, okay, here, let's both sit ringside and watch this match.
Yeah.
That's what Enzo said.
I feel like he used the kid as a
whatever. Whatever. If you want to have the idea in your head, whatever.
Whatever. I liked you better when you were making good jokes about Roman Reigns.
Anyways, well, we have a couple more Reigns segments.
So okay, good.
We'll wait till then. So, yeah, Big Show comes out.
No.
Well,
there you go.
Big Show comes
out. I saw a couple comments, people liking when you do it. I haven't seen any when people like me doing it, so I'm just going to defer to
all
you.
Right, all right.
Well.
And I thought it was a match, but then I realized that after Cass beat everybody up, there's no referee out there. So Cass got the upper hand on Will. Enzo comes in the ring.
Yeah.
Cass boots him in the face.
After using the child as a human shield. Because he knows that Cass isn't going to attack a child.
Maybe he won't.
This makes me want pizza.
Yeah, this pizza does sound good.
Sticker I have here on my
pizza does sound good, but I can't eat it. Sound good.
Let's order a pizza.
It's not my cheat day, Steve.
All right. Me neither, dude.
So it wasn't a match.
No, apparently not.
So I'm pretty much assuming there's a guarantee we're going to get this match at SummerSlam. Big Show versus
you think
Cass.
So? Yeah, no, we will. I know we will. It's a Big Show. Last SummerSlam.
And Cass will go over.
Yeah, well, he went over, like, Cass got the upper hand on Big Show here.
Yeah, but it's not a go-home show.
Shouldn't Big Show be getting the upper hand the entire time?
He will next week.
Yeah.
Or the week before SummerSlam, he definitely will.
When is SummerSlam?
August 20th.
Oh, that's a month away. Okay.
Yeah.
Next up, we had a Roman Reigns interview where once again he proclaimed that he is Big Dog and
his yard.
Yeah. Why wouldn't it have made perfect sense for the interviewer? Who was the interviewer? Was it Charlie again?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it was Charlie. For to say, hey, earlier tonight, the two out of the three Shield guys
were
out there.
Where were you? You have a history.
You have a history with them. Anyways, yeah. So he's talking about his match with Samoa Joe coming up later.
Yeah, and how he's going to win, beat Brock Lesnar for Universal Championship at SummerSlam.
Right. Ambrose and Rollins backstage.
They were arguing.
Yeah, and then Kurt Angle comes up, who looks like he's just walking around carrying this heavy load of this announcement of his.
And he says, "You too will get a face. Any two members of the Miztourage."
And Dean says, "How about all three?"
And then Rollins says, "Cool.
Good."
Angle says, "You got it.
Very good." He says, "Are you sure?"
So let's do odds right now. Roman making the save during that match. 25% yes right now.
Yeah, I'm at like 15%, man. It's not going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen either.
He's in his own storyline, so why would they have him cross over, which they totally should? It makes
perfect
sense.
Well, they could if they decide to go with Braun Lesnar at SummerSlam. Then Reigns has nothing to do.
Yeah.
They could do Shield versus Miztourage at SummerSlam. They could do that match. And maybe they will. I don't think they will, but maybe they will. I'm still pretty convinced that Reigns is going to be in the Universal title match at SummerSlam.
It's looking more and more like that's going to be a four-way, because what would Samoa Joe do?
Because it would be Braun Lesnar, and then Joe would have nothing to
do. That's got to be a four-way.
Yeah.
God, that and the Raw women's title, those both have to be four-ways.
Yeah. That would mean Nia would have to get involved in the match next week between Sasha and Bayley.
Yeah.
To justify that.
I mean,
set it up.
I'm fine with it. I just kind of find it oddball.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you could arguably have, it seems like the Raw tag titles are being set up for four-way as well. You know?
Yeah. Hardy's Revival, Sheamus and Cesaro in the club.
Club, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
we haven't got to that yet, but there was a great bit during the Revival match.
Oh, they're great.
Yeah, they are great. Then it was the Drifter.
He comes out. He's getting ready for a song, but before he get to it, he starts playing his guitar, but he doesn't sing yet.
Hey, let me ask you something.
What?
Do you think the Drifter really actually does know how to play guitar really well? He just knows how to fake playing it really bad really well? I'm not the music guy. You are. That's why I'm asking you.
No, I don't.
This week, it looked like he was doing a bit
okay. I don't think he's a terrible. Here's the thing. The main thing I would get on him about as far as guitar playing was his tuning.
Mm-hmm.
And your guitar tuning is, or how well it's tuned, is very variable. Is very sorry. There's a lot of variables that comes in play, including the environment.
Yeah.
So if he tunes up backstage and the conditions are different back there, if it's colder, more humid than it is when he's out in the ring, the tuning's going to change.
Yeah.
Because the neck will bow.
Yeah. Okay.
So that could explain why he'll go out there and the guitar's not in tune.
Yeah. Or
that's out of his control. To
he could just totally know what he's doing. I think he might.
I think he's a decent guitar player.
Let me ask you something. Yes or no, he is totally in on the joke.
Oh, absolutely.
I think he's probably a really good guitar player. That's my guess. And he just knows how to fake being terrible.
Well, I don't know if he's, like, for me, really good is, like, shredding.
I think he's probably better than you.
Metal solos. Well, I'm not that good.
Well, you're good. You're good enough.
I'm okay.
Do you think, like, take a guess. Do you think he's better or worse than you?
On par.
Okay. Oh, man. Anyways, I like this because he was talking about Nashville, and he said it's an awful town filled with terrible people and lies, and the music ain't much better. It's Nashville. He says the music ain't much better.
He talked about playing some gigs in Nashville, too, didn't he?
Yeah, it was good. Oh, man. Anyways, Elias. So then we had Elias Samson versus Finn Balor. Decent enough match.
I thought this feud was over.
Yeah, I know, me too, but then there's going to be a... There's
going to have a blow-off match next week.
Because Samson finally, and this is the first time he's done this.
Yeah.
And it kind of bums me out that he did it.
I know.
But he destroyed Finn Balor with that guitar.
Yeah, he did.
And because, like, they showed later on, Finn Balor was like...
He had two cuts in the back of his head.
They were like not Jordan Devlin-sized cuts. That's like brain exposed.
He tweeted about Finn Balor saying, "You're trying to look more and more like me down to the scars on the back of your head."
That's pretty funny. That's pretty good.
Referencing his huge gash he got from that match.
God, that was a disturbing gash. That really was disturbing. Anyways, then we got it. We got it. Hey, man. Hey, Finn Balor. I got nothing to do with SummerSlam, man. You want to have a match? I'm just sitting there in the bowels of the arena, man. Anyways, we're going to get Demon Balor versus Bray Wyatt.
I would think it would have to be Demon Balor.
Yeah. Yeah, it has to be.
Well, unless the first time they have a match, he doesn't do Demon Balor, loses, and realizes, I need to tap into the power of Demon Balor.
I'd like to see
Bray Wyatt.
I'd like to see Bray Wyatt like make this be about Demon Balor.
Oh, it has to be.
It has to be.
It has to be.
Yeah, yeah. Then you have kind of a story. And it means nothing.
But at least there's a story.
At least there's something. It's not him spinning his wheels during a problem. Oh, man.
Anyway.
I'm a god, man.
Next, Kurt Angle was backstage. Bayley and Sasha Banks joined him in his office.
Yeah.
And he says, next week, Bayley and Sasha will have a match. The winner of that match will be the new number one contender for the Raw Women's title. And that match will happen at SummerSlam.
Good, good. Yeah, right on. So, yeah, that's totally going to end in a...
some sort of weird finish.
Yeah, yeah. Now, listen, baby. This is what we're going to do. We're going to send Nia Jax out there. She's going to mess with the match. And then so they're going to say it's going to be a fatal four-way at SummerSlam.
Yep, probably. Next, Revival interview.
Thought the Banks are going to win at SummerSlam. Maybe. They might have Nia Jax win at SummerSlam. Anyways, what now?
Revival interview.
Oh, yeah. They're great.
Yeah.
Top guys.
Say yeah.
Yeah. Akira Tozawa versus Arya Daivari. I like this, man. This was good.
Storytelling.
Yeah. Arya Daivari was getting the upper hand on Akira Tozawa, working over the shoulder. Titus comes out and basically throws in the white towel. Tells the ref to stop the match.
He tells Tozawa that he's not worried about losing this match. He's looking towards the
he's
future.
He's looking out for his future.
Yeah.
I know. I like that. That was good. Was that later? Yeah, that was backstage later.
Yeah, later on.
When he said that. That was a good little bit. I like that. I like, you know, it's adding some layers to
some tension
the relationship there. But Akira Tozawa seemed to understand and begrudgingly agree with it. But he said, tomorrow on 205 Live, I want Arya Daivari.
Mm-hmm.
And Titus O'Neil was reluctant to accept that, but he's going to.
Yes.
Should be a good match tomorrow. Tonight.
Next. Next, Kurt Angle promo. He comes out and announces that Jason Jordan is his son.
Yes. Jason Jordan comes out. They hug. He said, because he said, back in college, I creamed in your mom. Why are they ripping off my WGPW stories, man?
I don't know.
Oh, man. That'd been great if he was describing in explicit detail the encounter which led to the insemination of his mom. Right?
Well, stuff. It's not the Attitude Era anymore. Mm-hmm. They can't do that.
Yeah. Oh, man. Anyways, good for Jason Jordan. This should be a lot of fun.
I know they had the interview scheduled on network after Raw, but I would have liked if Jason Jordan had gotten the mic for a little bit.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
Because not everybody's going to tune in to the network.
This was awkwardly short.
It really was.
This was like there was not much ballyhoo about it. And, oh, man. Why are you whatting Kurt Angle in in any venue, in any instance, you're whatting Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
Where were they last night?
Nashville,
you get an F. You get a Frank for last night. Whatting Kurt Angle.
Yeah,
a couple of our friendos were on Twitter sending us pictures saying that they're there. I'm not talking about you as long as you weren't whatting Kurt Angle. I hope that our friendos out there are not what. Why would you what Kurt Angle?
I don't know.
What is stacking up to be a really big angle, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, it's a
big
reveal.
To be a really dramatic moment.
And you're what?
I thought
him?
Kurt did a really good job with his performance.
Like, I don't get it.
I don't understand it either.
I don't know. Bugs the crap out of me. I don't know what people are doing, man. Anyways. Like you said, this is a short segment, though.
Yeah, it was really short.
It was short. I figured there'd be more. I feel like Corey Graves would be in there and they'd really milk it for a lot. The only thing he really milked was stopping short at saying, like when he said, you know him as, and everybody expected him to say Chad Gable, and he said Jason Jordan. Chad Gable looks exactly like Kurt Angle. Well, anyways, let's see here.
After that, Hardy Boys versus The Revival.
This is a good match.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. You think like The Revival and Young Bucks having that sort of pseudo internet feud.
I know.
And like the Hardys got to fight both these guys in the span of like, what, 6 months?
Less than that.
Yeah. And
4 months, 3 months.
The thing that I loved was that at one point it cuts to the club watching this on the monitor backstage and they two-sweet each other.
Yeah.
Why? Like, why? That's awesome. Anyways, this is a fun match.
Yeah.
Jeff
goes for a Swanton, and then Dash Wilder pushes him off the top rope.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Dawson covers Jeff, picks up the win. They spend a lot of this match working Matt Hardy's knee.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward to more quality. Like, the Hardys, are, of course, they're the Hardys. You're going to get good matches out of them. But, like, I want to make sure that the Revival... their presence elevates the tag team as opposed to the rest of the division bringing it down. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We saw what they could do in NXT.
Oh, yeah.
I want to make sure that they're able to make everybody else's game better. You know what I mean?
I know.
And I haven't seen... I haven't seen evidence that they're going to do that. You know?
But we haven't gotten a chance to see them.
I know. You're right. You're right.
We've only seen them on Raw so far.
You're right. And it's not like all of a sudden they're crap. I'm just saying.
No, I mean, in terms of team dynamics, how they work together as a team, they're, if not the best in WWE, one of the top three.
No, I agree. And I want to see them. I just want to see them continue to elevate the craft the way they did
in
NXT.
Oh, I know. The bar they set in NXT is so high.
I know.
So,
let's see here. Next up, we had
a pretty short Samoa Joe interview.
Yeah, it was good.
Oh, yeah. Joe's great.
It was short. Next up we had, so that was when we had Akira Tozawa and Titus O'Neil backstage. Akira Tozawa said, I want that rematch tonight on 205 Live. Then we had the main event, Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe.
They gave this match a good amount of time. It was decent enough.
This kicked off at like 7:39, I think, when I looked at my phone. It was 7:40 or so. It was a good match. Like it wasn't quite, this was Raw main event. This wasn't quite pay-per-view quality match.
No, but it's still pretty good.
It was pretty good. It got really good when Braun Strowman showed up.
He got a huge pop, too.
Huge pop for Braun Strowman because he's a force of destruction and it's so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much fun. And he went in there and Roman Reigns looked like he was watching a ghost attack him, basically.
He looked like he was wetting himself
a little bit. I know. It was good.
He probably thought to himself, man, I should really reform the Shield and get myself out of this situation.
Exactly. He was really selling the moment.
Yeah.
And you have to appreciate that.
And Joe did as well once he realized what happened.
Yeah. But basically, Braun Strowman, I mean, there was a lot of back and forth between, you know, all these guys.
Yeah, but in the end, Braun Strowman just started doling out power slams.
It was great, man. Oh, it was so good. It was so good, yeah. And I love whenever he drags Roman by the vest. If there's anything in the world that justifies that damn vest,
yeah,
it's Braun Strowman just grabbing it.
Agreed.
Like it's, you know, oh, it's fantastic.
The only thing the segment was missing was Braun screaming, "I'm not finished with you yet."
I know. He needs to say that every single time. That should be his catchphrase. He needs to say that.
It really should be. That and Roman Reigns is garbage.
Absolutely. Okay, so I guess it's time for questions.
Yeah.
I don't have them up, so you start as usual.
I just refreshed the page to make sure it was up to date.
Oh, no.
I liked a couple.
Oh, no. If you guys like our Nemo, content, go to Pro Wrestling.
The Universal Kidney Punching Champion, do you think that Braun would be as over as he is now if he wasn't finished with anybody else besides Roman? For example, have everything he did to Roman done to Finn instead. Feuding with Roman has really helped him.
It's helped both men immensely.
Yeah, but I think it's helped Braun more.
Oh, absolutely. No, if he was feuding with Finn, he'd be like a huge heel right now. Like, instead people would be terrified of him.
Second top face on Raw.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Connor Dunmore. Hey, friendos. I've recently noticed that Raw has equaled SmackDown quality-wise. Do you think this is because Raw has improved or SmackDown Live has gotten worse? Raw last night wasn't very good.
I will say that Raw has improved.
Yes,
since,
it has.
Yeah, around Great Balls or so. Like, so the last couple weeks has been a bit better.
I would say since Samoa Joe has been elevated to the
I
think that's helped a lot. I mean, Lesnar's been on TV, not all the time, but more.
Yeah. You're right about this, Joe. Yeah. Since Joe choked out Paul Heyman, it was like, things are getting better.
The angle storyline has brought some interest to the show.
There is still dead weight, though. Those 205 tag matches are dead weight.
Yeah.
They're still dead weight, though.
Especially like last night, there just seemed like a lot of filler.
Mm-hmm.
Next.
Alex Foster. This question is for you.
Ooh.
Has Steve ever said something during the podcast that you rolled your eyes at, but then later, after the show, you started laughing about it?
Yeah, probably.
I know you have. I just don't know any specific.
Yeah, I can't think of anything specifically
examples
either.
Examples right now. That's a good point. Eddie Jose Guevara Menivar. Eddie Jose Guevara Menivar. He says, I know that having an illegitimate son sounds like a career-ending problem, but I disagree under the circumstances. I actually don't think it's a career-ending problem.
No, not at all.
Present guy excluded, but maybe if you're president.
Historically speaking, yes.
Or like congressman or something. Historically speaking.
Yeah, yeah. Like for a politician.
Thank you, historically
speaking, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But
these days, I don't think so. But anyways, he continues. He says, the whole story angle of Kurt stressing about the secrets just doesn't make sense to me now. Yeah, no, we kind of addressed that. Kind of doesn't make any
sense. Yeah, the way they were setting it up, that was going
to
be, you know.
But they had to make it seem like a scandal thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
but maybe at the time when they set it up like that, they didn't know what they were doing.
That could be.
They didn't know how the story was going to conclude itself. It's so hard, like we just said it earlier, it's so hard to tell what their writing process is like.
Yeah.
Whether plans are made and followed through or things change, we don't know.
Adam Mayhem says, what is Jason Jordan's ceiling now? And should he turn heel? I think if it works for the story, he should. But I don't know. I feel like the crowd... Here's the thing about American Alpha, too, like in general. The crowd really wants to get behind them.
Yes.
That was true when they were tag champs on SmackDown. The crowd really wants to get behind him. It's just they never had a reason to.
Yeah.
And I think that's still, you know, Jason Jordan, I think he does have a lot of charisma. It's just, he's like a year's worth of experience. And being with Kurt Angle helps. He's like a year's worth of like a lot of experience getting comfortable enough to showcase it, but I think it's there.
Oh, it's all there.
He's a great looking dude.
Yeah.
He's built like a stud.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a really good
Tons
wrestler.
Tons of charisma.
Yeah.
It's just putting it all together.
I think his ceiling is super duper high.
We've been saying that for a long time. I think he's 28. I think that's what I read. I mean, back, I think 2 years ago when we were doing predictions.
28, yeah.
28. When we were doing predictions, like for the year, we both said that American Alpha, or maybe I just said that, American Alpha was going to be the most pop, like the hottest thing in NXT.
Yeah.
You know, including singles competitors. Mm-hmm. We thought they were going to be the hottest act in NXT. They got called up before that happened.
Yeah.
But both Chad Gable and Jason Jordan have all the tools.
Oh, absolutely.
It's all
there.
Yeah,
for sure. I think Gable is obviously more polished in terms of like comfortability. I think he's going to be huge. Mm-hmm. How tall is he? Sometimes that can kill
I think
a
he's 5'9 or something like that. Maybe 5'10. 5'8.
5'8, okay. And he's 203. Ooh,
but he doesn't wrestle like a guy who's.
Right, no, he doesn't. When you can hang with AJ, then that means that they think, okay, he's got maybe that kind of potential.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, he's roughly the same size as Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. Let's see.
James Rodriguez, what are your thoughts on the state of tag team wrestling in the WWE today? It seems as though half of their teams have either split or left the company in the past 3 months. There's not a whole lot of depth in either division right now on Raw or SmackDown. Maybe whoever's running Raw especially is like you and is not a fan of tag team wrestling.
Well, it's also that could be. It could be that there just isn't how many stories. You can't exactly have a B story, especially on SmackDown, and they're managing it with the Fashion Police. Mm-hmm. But it's really difficult to have two tag teams. Like, there's four divisions now, including 205 Live.
Yeah.
On Raw. I know they could have a B story, but, you know, SmackDown can't.
No.
They can barely, they don't have a men's mid card.
Not really.
You know what I mean?
Not really. Chris Kimmel, for how popular the Shield is, do you think if Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins stay together like a tag team, that they would be the most popular tag team in the company? I don't really think this is going to lead to a team between Ambrose and Rollins.
Yeah.
At least not long term.
No, I don't think so at all. Let's see here. Da, 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 da. Talked about that a lot of these. Oh, here we go. Well, this one has 5 likes. The Bulgarian Bruiserweight Aaron G. Kurt Angle actually has 4 illegitimate children who all turn out to be WWE superstars and eventually form a stable called the New Team Angle. Besides Jason Jordan, who are his children? Pick 2 males and 1 female.
Well, Chad Gable.
Okay, Chad Gable. One more male and 1 female.
Just in WWE, right?
Yes. Although, how great would it be if Adam Cole were his other son?
Oh, man.
How amazing would Adam Cole be as Adam Angle?
I know.
That'd be great. What if the other guys, what if Gable and, let's say it's Gable and Jordan are the other two, right?
Yeah.
And they are intent on carving their own path. They appreciate the guidance, but they're their own men.
Yeah.
Adam Cole comes in and
cut every corner.
He wants to be the most Kurt Angle Adam Cole he could possibly be. But he's like also a slacker. Oh, I love that angle. That's great.
We need a women's wrestler now too, right?
Like Alexa Bliss stands out to me. And on top of that, she's super young, so she could totally be that. But that's the only one that really stands out to me is who could be. What if it turns out that Charlotte Flair is in fact Charlotte Angle? She is the most Flair person on this planet that isn't David Flair.
I know.
Oh, man. That'd be good. Adam Cole. I could see him pulling that off. That'd be great. Let's see here. Oh, this is a good question. Let me ask you this. From JT.
Okay.
Because I don't know. Which is worse to have happen? To have fans take over a segment or have a segment with no fan reaction at all? Boy, that's a tough one.
A lot of it depends on the segment. Like, for example, last night during the Kurt Angle segment when the crowd was wanting him,
mm-hmm.
I would rather just have them sit there and be silent as opposed to wanting them.
However,
wanting him.
However, when the crowd did nothing for the Bailey, This Is Your Life segment, I really wanted them to start revolting like big time because they kind of did. But not to, like, I wanted, like, a full-on, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, I want that.
Yeah.
Merchandise break.
Yeah.
So
again, depends on the segment.
Yeah, it depends on the segment, I guess.
Nicholas Combs, power rankings. We haven't done a power ranking yet
today. Power rankings.
With pretty much every tag team being split apart, which team is next in line? 5 tag teams. WWE will include NXT. Number 1, Hardys.
They're getting split up. Oh, yeah. That's definitely, man.
Hardys, number 1. Number 2, clubs not split. Sheamus and Cesaro.
Okay, that's a good one.
They'll definitely split up down the line.
That's a good one.
3,
I'm going to say five is Fashion Police.
Okay.
Because they start out as singles guys.
Yeah.
You can't split up the Revival. And you cannot split up the Club. You can't do that.
No.
Although, from all the stuff we've heard about Carl Anderson.
Oh, being a like, spectacular wrestler?
Yeah. Maybe the Club. Maybe the Club can be four.
Okay.
No, wait. The Club can be five. Fashion Police, four.
We need three.
We need a three.
Heavy Machinery.
Oh, dude. No, no, no. No, come on. Hypro.
Yeah.
Hypro.
They're
totally breaking up.
Yeah, they're totally breaking up. They should be two, actually.
They should actually be two. That... Okay, let me ask this. Out of those five we just chose, who's going to break up first?
It's Hypro.
It's Hypro. They're number one.
Okay.
Oh, man. Wow. Julian Morris asks essentially, who is going to be the illegitimate son of the Big Show, who was, of course, the son of Andre the Giant?
Cass.
Whoa! Whoa! Big swerve.
Chris Prestel, getting rid of Pyro, yay or nay?
Yay.
Nay.
Yay.
Nay.
Yay, Larson.
Nay.
I don't like almost shitting myself at those live shows. I don't like it.
You know when it's coming, though.
No, I don't. You know I do not pay attention to anything.
Well, that's your problem.
You know why I didn't notice
that? The rest of us shouldn't have to suffer because you're unattentive.
Yeah, you should. And when we're in the luxury suite at SummerSlam
last year, and the Dudley's pyro went off.
How am I supposed to pay attention to the pyro when there's all sorts of free food in front of me? They had those hot dogs and nachos.
Aware.
It was all like Steve food, too. It was like beer, hot dog, and nachos, man.
Yeah, I know.
Kidding me? Well, I'm supposed to pay attention to the Dudley boys coming out?
Specifically, the pyro that opened Raw. Like, every time we've been to a show, and they
we were like right there.
And they say, we're about to go live. Yeah. That's when you prime yourself for pyro, and you never do it.
I know. You usually tell me, like, Steve, this is literally about to happen. Yeah, popcorn face! Tommy T has a question, and it's my favorite question because it involves Global Force Wrestling and Jeff Jarrett. Be on the lookout for my Slammiversary review at youtube.com/MFSteve here very shortly. Also, me and Lacey started playing Heavy Rain this morning. You know what? I'm bummed out you and I never did that for our channel like we always said we were going to.
Yeah, I know.
Because it is ridiculous.
Yeah, I know.
It is a lot of fun. We could have had a lot of fun with it. Instead, me and my wife are. My non-work wife. Let's see here. His question, Tommy T, is why is it everyone gives them a bunch of hate just because they don't want to just give up available property, aka the Broken Universe, or i.e. the Broken Universe? And they always associate the bad times of TNA with Jeff Jarrett, but it didn't really get bad till Dixie took control. So why does everyone hate them for two reasons they don't deserve hate for? I think it's just I honestly think it's just the company. It's absolutely amazing they have been able to stay in business for all the behind the scenes shenanigans we've always heard.
15 years or so?
Yeah, 15 years. Jeff Jarrett, me personally, he gets shit because I don't know if he was ever aware that he couldn't draw.
Oh, I know.
And he would always put himself front and center.
I know.
They've had some amazing talent come through.
Oh, yeah.
That they couldn't hang on to because they either didn't use them right.
They didn't pay him on time.
Or they didn't pay him on time or at all. They brought Hulk Hogan in and Eric Bischoff and tried to do that again.
Yeah.
They tried to go head-to-head with money. It was all their business decisions that didn't make any sense. And they've always had, like, really good wrestlers. They've always had really good talent going through there. My stomach's acting.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
As far as the broken stuff, people just want to see Matt Hardy be able to do that.
Well, and here's the thing, because I'm actually kind of on the same page as Tommy T when it comes to people giving them shit about them not letting the Hardys do the broken thing.
Yeah.
They have to understand people are going to, regardless of whether or not they're in the right business-wise, it's a bad look for them.
Yeah.
And then when we hear that they were going to, that the Hardys were going to try to buy it, the terms were $15,000. That was a shockingly low number.
Well, no. Impact also wanted 50% of their...
But from what I understood, I thought it was... There was agreed on for like 15 or 20,000. But then after that, Impact threw in, oh, by the way, we want 50%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what I read. Maybe that's wrong. I don't know. But...
Yeah, it was 10 to 15, and then Impact insisted on getting a half.
Right. Which is their, ridiculous.
Including like Jeff Hardy's band revenue, which is ridiculous.
This is and then when we hear that they sign off on it, and then Ed Nordholm says, no, I don't want to do it, it's a bad idea. It's like, come on, like, give me a break. Like, just, you know, I look, if they think it's a bad business decision not to sell them the thing, then just say that. Just say, look, no. These are our terms. Yeah. No.
It's either do it or not.
Yeah, exactly. It's either do it or not. But all this back and forth, and hey, like we've said this before, it could be that the Hardys and their lawyers are the ones being a pain in the ass. I have no idea. Nobody knows.
We don't know.
But the fact, I'll put it this way also. The fact that Ed Nordholm released private correspondences between him and the WWE, automatically, for me, you lose the benefit of the doubt.
Yes.
At that point.
That's not a good business
practice. At that point, you have direct evidence of at least one guy who's acting in bad faith.
Yes.
So you can extrapolate from there.
Yep.
So that's why I do GFW reviews on my channel. And you know what? I point out the good and the bad. The actual product they have on the show, I can show you on the review. Like I say, well, you know, if they did this, I could see them bringing in more people. But then they do this, this, and this, and it makes me not want to see it. So, or it makes me, you know, it makes me understand why people don't go or don't consider them a viable option in terms of what wrestling they want to watch.
Yes, agreed.
200,000 to 300,000 people every week kind of do. So,
yeah. All right. You ready for the greatest pro wrestling trivia challenge there is?
I am ready.
All right.
I'm ready. Oh, yeah. And they had Russo on staff. So,
okay. You saw what the options were for the vote this week.
Yes.
It was the Shockmaster.
We're reviewing Clash of Champions 24, the debut of the Shockmaster, and it is great. We're going to talk about it this week on Sunday. Holy crap, we have 70 people watching.
Oh, hi, everybody.
Nice.
So I thought of other failed WCW gimmicks, and the first one that popped my head was the Yeti.
Oh, nice.
So it was Shockmaster versus the Yeti, and in somewhat shocking fashion, the Yeti won handily.
That's weird.
I know. Like, it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
I thought the Shockmaster was going to win. Might have been close.
I hope one of your trivia questions better be who was the Yeti, because I fucking don't know.
No, it was going to be, and I thought that was too easy.
I have no idea.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
One, Ron Studd.
Oh, real.
Yeah. You know that, but you don't know who played the Yeti?
Yeah.
Okay. Two, Super Warrior.
Super Warrior. Fake.
Yeah.
Okay.
Three, Blue Bomber.
Blue Bomber. That sounds real.
Fake.
Oh, okay, good job.
Four, Buzz Stern.
Nah, fake.
Real.
Oh, wow.
Five, Tony Rumble.
Tony Rumble, fake.
Real.
Shit.
Next, Jim Backlund.
Fuck, man. I don't know. Shit. Fake.
Real.
Fuck!
Next, General USA.
Fake.
Yeah. Next, Mike Winner.
Mike Winner.
Yeah.
I feel like there was a winner, but it wasn't Mike Winner. Fake.
Real.
Damn it! This is an all-time low!
Next, Hard Work Walker.
Fake.
Real.
Fuck!
Next, Troy Stetson.
Fake.
Yeah.
Okay, something has to be fake.
Next, SWAT.
Real.
Yeah.
Okay.
Last, Scott Studd.
Scott Studd. Fake.
Real.
Damn it. Only five.
Wow. Two trivia questions. Are you ready?
Shit the bed. Probably not.
So the Yeti was Ron Reese. Reese from Raven's Flock.
Oh! I had no idea.
Ron Reese was in Dusty Rhodes' promotion, TCW,
yeah.
And he was a tag team champion.
Yeah.
Who was his partner?
Oh, wow. I will say... Paul Roma.
Glacier.
Really?
Yeah.
Shit. I didn't know Glacier did anything but being Glacier.
I know.
Was he as Glacier?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
And according to Ron Reese, who was originally supposed to be the Yeti?
Glenn Jacobs.
Giant Gonzalez.
Really? Wow. Well.
Five, huh?
That was, five.
I have no idea right now what the tally is.
Yeah,
so I'll have to go back and check.
It's all in good fun. They don't need to know winners and losers. I'm a winner. You can be too.
All right. Well.
All right.
That's a way to end the show.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Anyways, thanks for watching on a whimper. No, those are good choices this week. I like that. Anyways, thanks for tuning in. Patrons, be sure to stick around. You can help us choose what we're going to have for lunch. And,
I thought you knew what you were going to have for lunch.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to have peanut. Well, you don't know what you're having for lunch.
No, I know I'm going. I just know exactly
that Del Taco salad wasn't that bad yesterday.
No, it was actually pretty decent.
It was already, I
wish I had
it.
More chicken on it, but that's the only drawback I could
think of. I had a lie. You should have told me I would have given you some of my chicken. I had a good amount of chicken.
Now I know.
Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.